Years ago, I would spend endless amounts of time trying to bring my heart into harmony with God and to get rid of the dark lusts and the anger and the resentment and the indifference towards God, just get rid of it and somehow make my heart holy. And when it came to seeing this verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it took me, I would say, months to understand it. It just seems so confusing, such a shock. Well, let me share it with you. My friend Colin Cook here, and how it happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the love of God, plain and simple. This incredible love, which has sought out sinners when they weren't even searching for Him and not even knowing they were lost. This love of God, who through Christ has atoned for our sins and now trains our faith in how to know who we are in Him and how to intercept our struggles by that faith. That's why we call this program How It Happens, How Grace Happens and How Faith Happens. Now look, my friends, we're in Romans chapter 5. We're at verses 6 through 11, and I only alluded to verse 10 in the last two programs, that Christ died for us when we were without strength, when we were ungodly. That's verse 6. When we were sinners, that's verse 10, 8 rather. And then when we were at enmity with God. And this verse is really very puzzling at first, if you were like me years ago. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. How in the world can you be reconciled when you're an enemy? I mean, imagine two people having a rollicking argument, and one storms out of one door and the other storms out of the other. Well, how are they going to be reconciled? Only if they both have a change of heart, and one comes back through the door rather sheepishly, and the other one comes in through the other door again rather sheepishly, and they apologize because their hearts are reconciled to each other. Well, here it says that we are reconciled while we're an enemy, while we are enemies. Now, my friend, look at verses 6, 8, and 10, because they are parallel in this regard. It says, for when we were still without strength, in verse 6, that's one statement, and then verse 8 is parallel to it. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that's people who are without strength in verse 6, and by the way, ungodly also at the last part of verse 6. And then sinners in verse 8, that's parallel with verse 6. And then verse 10, for if when we were enemies. All right, so without strength or weak, ungodly, sinners and enemies, they're all parallel. And what else is parallel in these verses? Well, verse 6 says, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And then verse 8, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's parallel to verse 6, Christ died, Christ died. And then verse 10, now look at it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's parallel to Christ died. In verse 6, Christ died. In verse 8, and we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Now this is fascinating. Listen carefully. Because verse 10, the parallel, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, makes clear what Christ died for us means in verse 8 and Christ died for the ungodly in verse 6. When Christ died, then, He reconciled us to God through that death. You see, because that's what it says in verse 10. We were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. So that the death of Jesus is not simply, you know, a provisional thing where He says, well, my Son has died for you, and if you accept Him, you will be saved. That's not what Christ's death is. According to verse 10, Christ's death is actually the reconciliation. How so? Because Jesus died in our place as our substitute, representing us before the Father. Therefore, when Jesus was executed at the cross, it is as if we were executed. Let that sink in, my dear friend. Christ's death was a substitution for our death. When he died, he ended human nature. He ended our human nature. He was exterminated and executed for it. Yes, for it, that is for us, he was executed. And therefore, we are reconciled to God in Christ. Christ representing us has reconciled us to God even while we still do not know it. In other words, we are enemies. Even when we were enemies, we were reconciled. You see, way back in those days, especially my college days and my young ministry days in New York City, I was so troubled by all the temptations around in New York City and falling flat on my face regularly. I simply was in a state of spiritual panic, endlessly trying to reconcile my irreconcilable heart, trying to repent, trying to get rid of the dark, evil, lustful thoughts and feelings and actions. And I was feeling that I was not going to be reconciled until I could do that. But you see, the gospel turns our delusions upon their heads. What we have here is a stunning message. It is that we are already reconciled. In fact, we were reconciled before we were ever born. We were reconciled while we were enemies before we were converted. I know that this is a shock to many people, and some people think it highly dangerous, but there it is in the Word. For goodness sake, take the Word seriously. Let me read it again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. What difference does this make to your life? A massive, actually an eternal difference, my friend. Because you, with all your struggle with addiction, or your struggles with life, or your depressions, or your anxieties and worries, your habits, your obsessive thoughts, your drugs, your alcohol, whatever it may be, your food, your sex issues, with these struggles of human nature, you come before your Father and you say, Father, I am going to believe something that seems to me almost blasphemous. I am going to believe something that makes my heart tremble. I am going to believe something, Father, that makes me fear that you might be angry with me. I am going to believe I am reconciled to your heart, that your wrath has ended, that you have brought me into your throne room before ever I have done anything to get to overcome this struggle of mine and these struggles of mine. I thank you and praise you, dear Father, that I'm reconciled to you and that you do not count my human nature with all its foibles and darknesses as alive. Actually, we come to that idea in chapter 6. You see, my friend, I said yesterday we've put the cart before the horse. We have tried to be reconciled to God by our repentance and our sincerity and our surrendering and our earnestness before we can be saved. But the message of the gospel is that God takes sinners as they are. Let me repeat. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to him, to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And so we come before our Heavenly Father with this newfound faith, my friend. Train it in you. Father, I thank you that I am reconciled to your heart, not by the quality of my heart, but by Christ, by Jesus my Savior, by Jesus who took my humanity upon himself and was executed for it. Now, does this make any difference to your progress? Absolutely it does. Because your concentration will move off this endless attempt to purify your heart by your dedication and discipline and repentance and surrender. You will become less focused on the self and this endless, interminable attempt to stamp out the human nature. You will rather look to your Heavenly Father and give him praise and give him thanks that you are counted as dead, that you are counted as finished at the cross, that you have been reconciled even while your heart is still at enmity. And as you praise, something happens. Your heart begins to calm down. Your faith begins to subdue it. Your faith senses the love of God. As it says in verse 9, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And you begin to wonder and be filled with awe that this God of ours has taken away his wrath and brought us into his throne room in the person of Jesus Christ so that we are counted as already there, as good as there, in Jesus our Savior. This gives us a new courage to do battle with the temptations we face and the failures we face. Don't put the cart before the horse, my friend. Let Jesus lead on his white horse. Let me hear from you in these summer days, my friend, when people are out and about or just enjoying the garden air and the backyard in the evening time and not listening to the radio perhaps so much. Please let me hear from you, would you? Either by simply telling me how this program is helping you, how it's training your faith. I'm not looking for kudos. I'm not looking for little pats on the back. I'd love to hear a note from you telling me what this program is doing to help you through this or that. And at the same time, you would like to send a donation as a thank you to this ministry, then please do so, because the summer months are more difficult because of, as I say, people being out and about and not listening to the radio so much. So please send your donation, would you, to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. And don't forget to send that note. You don't have to, but if you have something to say and share how this program's helping you, it really encourages me and encourages other people. I will not identify you, of course, but we put your little notes on the website, unless you object. You can also take care of your donation by PayPal by going to our website, faithquestradio.com. And there, by the way, you can listen to all the radio broadcasts, faithquestradio.com. If you want to take care of your donation by credit card, call me at 303-738-8694. 303-738-8694. I'll send you my Cook's Monthly Message as a thank you, my friend, unless you say no literature, please. Your CD will help you each month. All right, my friends, thank you, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.